Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is a very, very good friend. He is a Texas Black Sports Hall of Fame inductee. He is a legendary women's college basketball coach, women's high school basketball coach, Coach Michael Inslee. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good, Chris. How are you today?
I'm so glad to have you on the show today of all days because later this afternoon, it's the Final Four of the NCAA tournament, the women's championship, and this past weekend, all eyes were on women's college basketball. In a way, it's actually more popular right now than the March Madness of the men's tournament. Are you surprised on any level?
No, I am not. I have, for years, ever since I started coaching women's basketball back in, I think, 1985, Texas College.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that the women's basketball game was at a point where it was starting to develop skills and women's physical ability to do some things that they had not done before. But most of all, they started to get this mental approach as to, I can play like a guy.
Yeah.
And you used to do T-shirts sometimes,
mm-hmm.
play like a boy. That's what they doing now. But I like it better. And I was telling my son, who's the head boys basketball coach at Marlin High School, about coaching, the difference between coaching girls and boys from my perspective.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
Sitting in gyms and watching the boys practice, trying to pick up some things that I thought my girls might want to do, try.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over it with my coaches, Chris, and then I presented it to the girls. And I had one say to me, said, Coach, the boys can't play man-to-man. We can play man-to-man, Coach. All they do is play zone. And I thought about that. And I thought about that. And, you know, every evening when I get home, I go to the think tank, and I take a notepad with me, and I try to jot down things. And I never shared them a lot on paper with a lot of people because they'll steal your stuff. But I started thinking about it. And, you know, as I watched the other night, somebody was talking about, can LSU guard Caitlin?
Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark with Iowa, the greatest college female basketball player ever.
Now, that's the thing, because at Lincoln, we prided ourselves on being able to defend.
You know what? Pause right there, because I want to tell everybody who don't know your story why you in the DISD Hall of Fame as well. You led Lincoln High School's girls basketball team to a dynasty from the late 1990s through the first part of the millennium. The Lady Tigers won the national championship, won three state championships, eight state tournament appearances, through your 14-year career at Lincoln alone. So basically, that one year when the Lady Tigers won it all, the national championship, 30-0. So let's talk about that defense. Because, I have to give you your props because I know you don't like to talk about yourself that much, but I got to let people know.
Well, that's the first thing I was about to say, because although my name is at the top, there were many others, but a few very, very, very special people. But the desire to play defense, that was our mantra at Lincoln. And every young lady that came to Lincoln, and I used to enjoy watching this. I always speak, when I speak to others, I tell them, you know, you got a program when your juniors and seniors are telling freshmen and sophomores how it's supposed to go. And they will tell you, coach, don't care about you being able to shoot. You want to play? You better learn how to defend. And we set a goal that we didn't want a team to score more than 30 points a game against us. We didn't care what level you were. We wanted to hold you to 30 points or under. And they bought into that. They bought into it so much so that we only one person in the history of my history at Lincoln scored more than 30 points in a game because we were balanced.
Balanced.
And that was Andrea Riley.
A Hall of Famer herself, a WNBA superstar.
She went on to go out to Oklahoma State. She put 50 up on, I don't want to tell you because I know you got sentimental reason.
I know OU.
So, but they loved it.
Yes.
They loved it. And this was the thing that when my girls went off to play on the college level, very seldom, Chris, when you see a freshman, very seldom, like Juju, Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore, they can come in as a freshman and score like that. So my thing was, if you want to play on a freshman level, go in and be able to defend. That coach will put you in the game.
Be the total package.
Exactly. Because your offense is going to come. You work with it. It's going to come.
Let me give you some more props, coach. Let me give you some more props, because again, you more than just the coach. You were a mentor to a lot of these girls, and you also had your girls were not only well rounded athletically, but they were mentally sound as well. You had several student athletes get college scholarships. They played in the Olympics, WNBA, overseas. Your student athletes included 8 valedictorians and salutatorians throughout your tenure at Lincoln. You personally were named District Coach of the Year 13 times, Texas Association of Basketball Coaches Coach of the Year in 2004. And like I said, they were total student athletes. They just weren't athletes that showed up on the floor on the gym and then got by. You had very, very mentally sharp, high basketball IQ, high student IQ. So I have to salute you for, you know, making sure they were totally well-rounded, not just on the basketball floor, offense and defense. We're talking about totally well-rounded as people.
Just again, I thank you for that again, and I think I put in the work. But I had a guy by the name of Dr. Napoleon B. Lewis. Who's the principal at Lincoln.
That's right. Legendary principal.
And do you know that was another one, Earl Jones, who came right after, right? The two of them, along with Troy Matthew, Mike Moses, and Michael Hinojosa. Those are the guys that were my overseers and that told me, Mike, we want you to do great things. They didn't cut. That was a saying back in the day, say some people are king killers. They didn't want us to just stay in our lane. They wanted us to go out and do some things. And from that, at Lincoln, we had that radio and television.
Department. With Dr. Louis White.
Dr. Louis White was one from KKDA.
That's
the
right,
man.
The Wolf.
And what we did together in terms of those young ladies in that department, it was important to me that they learn how to speak publicly.
Because they'd have to do interviews.
have to do the interviews.
Yeah.
How to travel and eat in fine restaurants, proper dress and attire. And from that, okay, right now I have a young lady that's the athletic director down in Humble ISD, principal up in Richardson, head coach at Cedar Valley Community College, assistant coach over at Lincoln, whom I just visited with yesterday, that stepped in and did a phenomenal job for coach when he had to step out for a minute, and they went, took him to state. And the Lady Tigers at Lincoln are back, about to do their thing again. And then I had Tamisha Jackson to be placed in the Texas Black Sports Hall of Fame this past induction, who's a teacher and coach at Day Middle School. I'm peacock proud.
As you should be, because they have actually done that thing. Again, they've turned out to be, you know, more than just athletes, more than just basketball players. They've turned out to be great leaders and great educators and great mentors for young women who are, you know, also trying to strive and get ahead. I'm bringing this up again because the Women's Final Four is this weekend, and everybody's talking about Women's Final Four because the women's basketball game, let me say this once again, the ratings last weekend when Iowa played LSU in the Elite Eight just this past Monday, they were the largest ratings for women's basketball ever, and they had over 1.7 million people watching. 1,700,000 people watching on ESPN, and it was just amazing because everybody was all eyes on those programs. And you're quite familiar with Kim Mulkey at LSU because y'all crossed paths back in the day when you were a collegiate basketball coach, right?
That's correct. At Louisiana Tech with the Lady Texas, we both were assistant coaches up on there at that time. Legendary Leon Barmore, Hall of Fame coach himself. And Kim was a hard worker, still is. That's what a lot of folks don't give her credit on.
Yeah, she's a hard worker. She's very disciplined.
She's a hard worker, and I give her all that. Kim is who she is.
Yes, she is.
She tell you that. And I am a witness, you know. She, like she say, either you like her or you don't.
Yep.
And that's what you get with Kim.
And she's won a couple of championships. She won it at Baylor. She won it at LSU. And the women's program at LSU, they, you know, when they won it last year, and again, this is why I think, you tell me what you think. I'm thinking the women's basketball has gotten all eyes on it because everybody knew the LSU story. You know, Reese was coming back, and you could kind of keep up with the program. And then with Iowa, you had Caitlin Clark, and everybody knew her story. In other words, these weren't one-and-done kids. These were girls that you were able to follow their story. Like with men's college basketball back in the day, you could follow along with Patrick Ewing and Olajuwon, and can they come back? Will North Carolina and Dean Smith and his crew, will Michael Jordan them come back? I mean, you were able to follow it along and see if they could build on their legacy if they won a championship or even made it to the tournament. I think with women's college basketball, like I said, you were able to keep up from last year. It's almost like following boxing or WWE. It's like, oh yeah, I know who that is, as opposed to, like, I think over the last 10 years for men's college basketball, like, oh, yeah, I know the school, I know the coach, but I don't know some of these young guys. They might be good. Maybe they might be pros.
See, Chris, you're saying it, but you're not saying it. And I know why, and I understand. You know, again, when you look at what happened in that game, what the attendance and all of that was about, you got to look a little bit deeper into cause and effect.
I call it subplots.
And I like that. I like that. But the women's game is one that's true. It's all about the student athlete.
Yep.
The men's side is just about the athlete.
Yep.
And I know that's a bold statement to say. A lot of people may not think I have enough information or background and what the integral parts of the NCAA, all that's about, but it's not that. Those ladies stay for 3 to 4 years. They develop a name, a reputation, a following, if you will.
Yeah.
The boys nowadays are looking at G League. You don't even know who they are.
Right.
You talking about national recognition. They have to come into the league to get recognition. because you didn't have the opportunity to follow him through college. That's one thing. Then number two, they are not prepared totally mentally, physically, to bring about that. Young man played for the Minnesota Timberwolves, Anthony
Edwards. Anthony Edwards.
Now he's starting to know who he is. And I think that's a tragedy. Okay? And the most important thing that they're losing on their level is the lack of education. Now, you can't, in my opinion, ask an individual, a human being, to grow up and at the age of adolescence, before they become a teenager, you starting to make them a grown man and getting them ready for the G League or the NBA. Michael Jackson, they say, didn't have a young life.
A childhood.
Childhood, because he skipped it.
Yeah, he was singing.
And I've had conversation with others about us losing our focus on what's important for our children in terms of education. And who you let or trust your child to. I, looking back, I know a lot of people from Auburn University, parents that is, that sent their children to Auburn University when Tommy Tuberville was there as the coach. Knowing what we know now. We got to be more in tune. And back to the game, what you saw was the game. But you didn't see the young ladies behind the scenes, which what I love most about what the women's game has brought to other young women. I'm talking about the women that's on the cameras. I'm talking about the women that's at the desk doing color analysis.
Yes.
I'm talking about the women that's doing all kind of things other than play the game, which is why athletics and academics has to have that union. And I don't think, I'm going to say it because I'm a part of it and I'm a family member of Dallas ISD. They don't have a plan for athletics. They don't have a vision for athletics. And when you throw women in there specifically, they can't tell you what their plans are to provide quality education, athletics, STEM together for young ladies to be color analysis, to be sportscaster, to do the promo.
Yeah, the PR, the yeah, athletic, you know, there's jobs all in the industry that's not necessarily
sports
playing.
Medicine,
yes.
Doctors.
Yeah, trainers.
All that goes with athletics. But you think if a ball is not involved, athletics is not significant. Well, you're wrong. That's what you saw the other night. And the women, they know it now. They know they can produce games like that. You know, last year they had the women, they had a complaint about in the tournament where the men had a better facility, weight room, and all that, and had nothing for women. Why we have to do all of that for women? The women are here.
They
and they let everybody know that they can pack the stands. They can play sound basketball. And guess what, Chris?
What?
They could pull up from the logo and
yes,
shoot
they
it.
Can. Yes, they can. They can Steph Curry just like Steph. They can Steph Curry just like Steph.
I'm just saying, man. I unfortunately, like I told you, my wife and I lost our little girl. And the girls that I coached, girls that I worked with, became our little girl. You know, that's why today, and that's why I told you early on, that I knew it. I knew that young ladies today now, when you talk about dribbling skills, passing skills, shooting skills, defending, you look at the battles down on the block with Angel Reese and that young lady Morrow against South Carolina, those players they had, that was a game, too.
That's right. And by the way, let's give props to South Carolina and Dawn Staley. She's one heck of a coach, too. They are really good.
Dawn Staley, I just have to touch on coming out of Philadelphia, going to school in Virginia back in those days, then goes back to Philadelphia to coach at Temple. And then to South Carolina, of all places, Chris, and packing the house.
Yep, on the regular basis. And going to the Final Four all over and over and over again, on the regular.
USA Basketball Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Those young ladies, this is what I like most about it. It tells me a lot about the person, not just the coach at Don State. You always see at their games former players flying in just to be there for the game.
That's right.
A lot of people won't recognize it again, but coaches, assistant coaches, teachers, administrators, the impact that they play up on young people today, and which is the reason why you see these young ladies enjoying what they do, gaining confidence every day about who they are, and they are able to provide a lifestyle for not only them but their families. It's fantastic.
It really is. We're talking to legendary Hall of Fame women's basketball coach Michael Inslee. And Michael, there's a side to professional basketball for women that a lot of people don't know about, but you do. Let's talk about not the WNBA, but the fact that a lot of girls, a lot of women, once they leave college, they wind up playing overseas, and they actually make a lot of good money. They do it, again, not every opportunity is in the WNBA, but they have a chance to extend their career and actually travel the world. I'm not saying it's the best thing in the world, but it's unique in its different ways. Can you talk about maybe some of the student athletes that you've coached that have played overseas and really, you know, what do you call it, developed the different languages and a worldwide view as opposed to just, you know, growing up in North Texas?
You never know what you really miss until, a lot of folks would say till it's gone, but until you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a country boy. I grew up in the country. I didn't have an indoor toilet until I was in the seventh grade.
Look out.
And what I'm telling you is working in South Dallas, coaching at Texas College, you don't always have what others have. The good thing is that through athletics and academics and education, opportunities arise. So I can't, I guess you're getting it that I'm attached to the education thing.
Yeah, you get it. That's the most important thing. That's the most important thing because your basketball careers only last so long, but your education is a lifetime. Education is a lifetime.
So long. And so, you know, while I was at Lincoln, man, we played a national schedule. Every year we were flying somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
To play. So my young ladies know how to go through a security system, TSA.
Yeah.
They know how to get on the plane. Don't take that for granted. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they know in different places people act and talk differently. So they're not shocked when they're in different places. Those young ladies that play for me that play overseas couldn't wait to get back coach. You know, there's such and such over here. And coach, the basketball over there is a little bit different, coach. I said, but did you represent Lincoln?
Exactly.
Coach, you know, I had to tell him I had the craziest coach in the world. And we laughed and we talked about you. But yeah, coach. Lincoln, in my opinion, in those days, was the only team in the Metroplex that was playing a national schedule. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I knew you guys were taking on all comers. I knew y'all were taking on, it's like, wait a minute, that team's from California. Wait a minute, that team's from the East Coast. Wait a minute, that team's from Houston. And y'all are playing anybody. Bring them.
We flew to Oakland, California
mm-hmm.
to play the number one team. We were number two. Piedmont High School, which is where the Parrish twins went to school.
Oh, yeah.
Whom, again, played at your
OU,
alma mater.
Oklahoma.
That's right. And Andrea Riley did her thing against them in Oakland, and you know what she did at Oklahoma State. This is the thing that I used to say to my young ladies. If you come to Lincoln, I can guarantee you you're going to get a good education. Well, we were at once ranked number 13 in the country as top urban school by U.S. News and World Report. But you're going to get to go to Austin.
Final
if you have an opportunity to go to play in Austin for a state tournament, why would you go to any other school? And Chris, there was coaches and ADs all over the place, hated me. But what we tried to do was elevate the lifestyle and bring into real life experiences and lessons learned to our young ladies, especially those that went overseas. Can you imagine a young lady leaving South Dallas going over somewhere where she had to use chopsticks?
It's amazing. You go to Asia and you wind up having to eat the way people eat. You wind up trying things you probably never would have crossed your mind growing up in South Dallas.
But they were ready.
They were ready because you equipped them.
They were ready.
They were ready. Okay. This is why I have you on this show, because, again, you did more than just coach. You made sure that they were educated, that they were prepared for all kinds of things in life, because you saw a future they might not have ever thought they could have.
I love it, and I love them. We constantly keep in contact. I wish I could do more these days. I've watched. I'm appalled at some of the things. I'm disappointed, like I said before, in the Dallas Independent School District.
But sometimes you shine a light on it, and people say, you know what, he's right. And then they can do some things and better equip, you know, the students who have an idea of being involved in the world of sports, but it's not necessarily playing ball. And so I think, you know, just having you on this show is allowing some people to realize, okay, maybe there are a few things we can help implement. Those are some pretty good ideas. So I'm glad we got you on the show. I got another question for you, Coach Inslee. The question for me, and it's a tough one, who's the greatest female basketball player you've ever seen? And I'm not just talking about skill set. It's like whatever your thought is the best player.
Wow.
Because you were,
ever?
Yeah, ever. Because and again, you not have to say you the one that coached them. I'm just saying right. Who's the best one you've ever seen in person? Because you know you were mentioning a lot of people can shoot, and the shooting's going to come. But who's the whole package? And then you also have always been all about education as well. So I'm sure whoever you saw, and I'll put you on the spot here, had that IQ.
You sound like my young lady. They always want to know which one was the best team, which championship team was the best team. And I can't quite answer that, but I would tell you this. I saw Louisiana Tech, Lady Texas play.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when Leon Barber and Sandra Ho was coach. They had a young lady on that team by the name of Angela Turner. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Came out of a very small school in Louisiana, Class C. Now, you don't know about that in Texas. They don't have basketball. I think they may have baseball for those if they can get up enough young men. But they play basketball year round. And she came out of there and she went to Louisiana Tech, played with Kim.
Mm-hmm. Kim Mulkey.
And she led that team in scoring. She was an excellent defender, athletic.
How tall was she?
Judy. She was, Angela was about 5'9".
Okay, so she wasn't 6 foot.
No, oh no,
mm-hmm.
Oh no, oh no. She could do it all.
You look dynamo.
And that last component you said, academically, mm-hmm. She's the top in her class.
Look out.
So, you know, you don't allow people would know that unless you're from Louisiana. That's a Louisiana thing. But if I would have had to reach out, You just can't. That girl, Diana Taurasi, when Gino said he wasn't worried because we got Diana. I don't know about you, Chris, but she could get it. And she's clutch. I think during her college career, overall, and due to media, more media coverage. See, you know, Cheryl and them didn't get the coverage back then.
Yeah, Cheryl Miller. Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't. And
Nancy
and
Lieberman. Ladies, yeah.
Right. They didn't get. This young lady, Gillum. I forget her first name.
Mm-hmm.
She played the post. She played with Phoenix Mercury for a long time.
Yeah.
Out of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
She was something else. Okay. She was something else. But Diana Taurasi, she was the original Caitlin Clark.
That's something special. And again, like you said, back in the day, they didn't have the same coverage that's going on nowadays. And again, the reason I had you on the show, Final Four weekend for men and women's, and all eyes are on the women, and it's about time. But I like the fact that you're shining the light on the total package, not just the talent, but also the education and some of the things that some of these young ladies have gone through, let alone your influence on a lot of them. Coach, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, he is the legendary Hall of Fame coach, Michael Inslee. And joining us right now is another longtime friend of mine, Helena Banks of Bonton Farms, right there in South Dallas, a farmer's market growing organic foods and also changing lives of the residents in the community. Helena, it's been a minute. What was the last time we talked in 2022?
It was 2022, and I had just gotten here to Bonton Farm, so it is great to talk to you today so we can catch up.
We need to catch up because a whole lot of wonderful things have been happening since the last time we talked about Bonton Farms. And by the way, things were really jumping back then in 2022. You guys had, I guess, successfully made the pivot, like a lot of different organizations getting through the pandemic. But as far as what Bonton Farms does, which is completely unique, having a farm right there in the heart of South Dallas is so unusual, but it's been a wonderful thing because not only is it a wonderful thing for the neighborhood and the residents there who actually can find jobs or actually can market there, but you guys have been very successful as well, right? Just talk about the beginning. Let's talk about the beginning, and then I want to hear about all these changes. I just can't wait.
Oh, great. So I will share, you know, long time ago, we started here in the Bonton community.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with just a plot of land and some raised beds and some people who said they wanted to make some change. And so we call them the OGs, along with Darren Babcock, seven other gentlemen came together. And, you know, they started with this plot of land and they started with growing food. And from growing that food and being able to provide some of that nourishment and wellness, you know, it turned into, well, how we need the food, but we really need jobs. And we need jobs and we also need healthcare. And we need healthcare and we need not just mental healthcare, physical healthcare, but also financial healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of those things turned into what we have here at Bonton as our seven human essentials. And at Bonton Farms, we talk about these seven human essentials. Those are the things that we need and we know we need, not just to survive, but to thrive. And so those seven human essentials are transportation, education, access to financial tools, community, healthcare, economic stability, and safe and affordable housing. And so here at Bonton Farms, we address those seven human essentials in a place-based program. And we have people who are going through our apprenticeship program. We have people from the community who are just here, who are here with jobs. And we are here so that we can address those seven human essentials. And from that little plot of land, we now have this acre and a quarter here in 75215 that includes the farm, our coffee house, our restaurant, and of course, the programming that is here for the community. And we do programming for the community every week. We have Zumba classes. Yesterday, we started our day with a mile walk. We did a walk. We walked a mile in Bon Ton. And so all of that stuff is here, and it has contributed to the growth of the community. We put over $2 million back into tax revenue base in the 75215 zip code every year. And all of that is through the work that is the great work that is being done here at Bon Ton Farms.
Oh, we got to break this down because it's such a success story. And again, low key, you guys have been grinding and getting it done, and everybody seems to be on the same page. And I know everything's full of twists and turns, but it seems like the arrow is pointing straight up. With that being said, let's break down the different parts. I was able to hang out with you guys a couple of times. One time I was out there at the restaurant where you had like a jazz night. And I was like, this is so cool. You have a restaurant right here on the property, and it serves up delicious, fresh food straight from the farm. And then you had a band. It was just like, and I understand a lot of people either reserve the facility or they can just casually come by for coffee or breakfast.
Absolutely. So our restaurant is open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. During the week, we are open from 11 until 3 o'clock. And on Saturdays, we're open from 8 to 3 o'clock. The coffee house opens bright and early at 7 a.m. for all the early birds. Mm-hmm. But the event that you came to, Chris, which is a great time for everybody, was our Soul Shine event.
Yes.
And what I tell you, Soul Shine is number one, it's D Magazine's 2023 Best Outdoor Concert Series that we won last year that we're happy to have. But it's truly our time to get together with not just the corporate sponsors, not just the individual sponsors, but also our community. Part of every Soul Shine, we have a certain segment of tickets that are dedicated free to the Bon Ton residents. And our next Soul Shine is April 18th. And we are welcoming the Mississippi Bastard Project. And we're going to get down to earth. We're going to get down. We're going to have great food, a terrific menu. Chris, you've been there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a good time.
It's a great time. And the chefs, I mean, the cooks, the whole staff, they're from South Dallas, and they put their foot off in it. I'm going to say it nicely. They put the foot off in it, which means it's delicious. It's absolutely, absolutely delicious. And it's all healthy because it's made right there. I was just completely blown away. And again, the atmosphere was just big family. It's like everybody, they might not have known each other, but by the time the evening was over with, everybody was best friends.
Because you know what we do with family style. So when you come to Soul Shine, you're going to walk in. There's going to be a few cocktails that we have for you. There's going to be some past appetizers. And then, you know, the music starts. We have a little presentation. But once you sit down and those family style plates start moving around, and you got to ask your neighbor down the way, pass me those potatoes, or will you hand me the greens that are over there? You can't help but be family by the time you finish at our Soul Shine event. And so we're doing them quarterly this year.
Okay.
So the next one, of course, is in April. But, you know, as always,
that's in a couple of weeks.
We are excited. We're thrilled. The menu is out. We've got the menu is out. The band is ready. We're going to be there. You know, you can visit bontonfarms.org to learn more about Soul Shine, to purchase your ticket. Or to be a corporate sponsor, so you can see exactly, you know, how we come together. The purpose of that meal is that when you break bread together, you cannot help but change. You change the person that you're with.
Exactly.
You change as a person, and that's how we change our community.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Let's talk about another facet of what you're doing. And again, keep an eye on the Soulshine series. Again, D Magazine said it's the number one outdoor music series in Dallas. And the first one, April 18th for 2024. Can't wait. But also, let's talk about the farm itself, because I went out there with the Mavericks. St. Marshall had a deal where we came out there, and it was absolutely amazing and spectacular. In fact, I was with you when we first started. I was like, hey, where are we going? You said, it's way over here. We could walk it, but I don't know if you got the right shoes on. And then next thing you know, I was like, wait a minute. This is a very, very large farm.
It is. It is a 40-acre farm.
Woo!
And it is still in Dallas. We are still in Dallas proper. It's mm-hmm. on your way to Siegelville, but just before you get to Siegelville, you take an exit, and right off of Ravenview Road is our 40-acre extension farm. And the extension farm, you know, we have the acre quarter here in South Dallas, 75215, mm-hmm. but at our extension farm, it's 40 acres, and that gives us a lot more room to do a lot of things. The first thing that we do bigger at the extension farm is our animals and our livestock. And so right now it is spring, and spring has sprung. And so Bonton Farms, we have 9 baby piglets out at the extension farm right now. And so if you volunteer with us, you can come see our piglets. And I got to see them yesterday. They're running around after their mama. Lois is a second time mom. She's being a great mom again this season. So we've got some piglets out there. We've got goats out there. We have chickens out there. I call them chicken tenders when they're not quite big enough yet. But chicken tenders out there.
You better not tell them that.
No. All our ladies are there. They're there forever. They're there for their age. But we also have 2 of our favorite little friends, Walter and the Dude. Our miniature donkeys are out at our extension farm too. And they're cute, but they're also there to serve a purpose. You know, it is a farm. And so there are predators who, you know, want to come and see about our chickens and see about our mm-hmm. goats. So, you know, livestock management is something that we do here. And the Walter and the Dude, the miniature donkeys, are cute and cuddly, but they are also there to protect our flock.
They have a job to do, and they are good to do that at. You know what? They remind me of Donkey on Shrek. They just do.
Donkey, yes. Yeah, absolutely. We've got, so at the extension, and I hate to say this is, I'm going to give you some toilet humor, but our newest thing at the extension farm is we now have flush toilets.
And so, well, it's about time. I'm so impressed.
Yes, Chris, because when you were there, we did not have
flush
toilets.
No, we had some outhouses, but that's okay. That's, yeah, look, so I've been to farms back in the day. You know, back in the day, my grandpa was on a farm and he had an outhouse, and that's what we had to do. So I was comfortable.
Let me tell you, I have worked really hard. I've told them we're going to have a toilet flushing party, because a part of a part of what we're doing out there is we're building a barndominium, and the barndominium is so close to completion. The barndominium will house our farm staff, but it will also have an opportunity. It's a full kitchen that'll be inside of that, so that we can take that wonderful food and experience that you have at Soul Shine here, mm-hmm. and that you come when you come to our restaurant, you sit on the patio. We can do, you know, because everything is bigger in Texas. We can expand that. And we've got the opportunity to host weddings. We call it agro-tourism. You can come and learn, but now we'll have an enclosed space, a full kitchen, so we can serve up those exact same delicious items that you get. And of course, it's indoors. And, you know, most importantly, there are flush toilets there. So we're excited about that addition at our extension farm.
Hey, it's the 21st century. You got to do those things sometimes. And more importantly, I'm just so impressed with this, because this is a farm with 40 acres inside the city limits of Dallas. Like you said, it's just before you get to Segoville, but it's South Dallas, and it's just right around I-20 area. All I can say is it's an amazing place, because, again, you can go to a wonderful farm in the city, and you have all these different things you could do. You don't have to, you know, travel out to West Texas or go out to East Texas. You can right here in Dallas. You don't have to go just to Fort Worth. You can go right here in Dallas.
Absolutely. And if you don't know, I'm a Dallas girl. I was born and raised in Dallas. Mm-hmm. I was born at Baylor Hospital, and my current house is just a few miles away from Baylor. So mm-hmm. if it's inside of Loop 12, I call that my bubble.
There you go.
All that we're doing at Bonton is inside of the bubble. It is live and local. We're here in South Dallas. You know, I always invite people, of course, come to the restaurant, of course, come to the coffee house. But, you know, if you've got a little more time on your hands, take a moment to come and volunteer with us.
Yeah.
We accept volunteers 6 days a week. You can come and try out your knowledge as a farmer, or you can do some skill-based volunteer work. You know, I always tell people who are bankers and accountants, you know, you're not really good at farming, but you're great at accounting. So we accept all kinds of volunteers. You can come out and visit with us, and then you'll get to, we do a goat walk with our volunteers. Mm-hmm. Corporate groups come out and volunteer with us. This is what they always ask for. They come and do a goat walk. And yesterday we had a goat walk going, and the goats, the people who were there were a little bit younger, so they had a lot more energy than I normally do when I'm out there. And when I tell you, it is a beautiful sight to watch those goats and the people come over that levee in South Dallas. The sun is setting and everyone's running and having a good time. And you have to think to yourself, this is happening in my community, in my Dallas, in my South Dallas. And it's a beautiful sight to behold.
It really is. And I'm glad you mentioned the corporate part, because there's a lot of corporations and a lot of ERGs in the corporations that have like community service or volunteer work, and you get credit for it. So I encourage anybody that's in corporate America or corporate North Texas who's listening and has some volunteer opportunities and say, we want to do something even more creative and actually, you know, make an impact in this particular way. That's not, you know, the traditional, well, you know what, maybe we, you know, do some other things in the city. Take it to Bonton Farms. I think everybody Absolutely. That volunteers will be so glad that they did, and they make an impact.
So I will share with you, I won't name any names, but they know who they are. We have some great ERG groups that come out and support us annually. They come, they do their annual days of helping, their days of service. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to even expand the pile. I, again, won't name any names, but we have some fraternities and some sororities who've come out to volunteer their time with us. We've had some other.
Are you talking about the Divine Nine?
I am indeed. I am indeed. And, you know, it's always interesting because they post their photos on Facebook, and it never fails that another organization would say, how did you get them to come out? And I say, you know, you can come out too. So
That's right. we,
you know what? The whole National Panhellenic Council, all of the Divine Nine can come and visit us at once. We'd love to have you all. And the thing that I think of people forget a lot of times is when we have our volunteers out, our community is always here. And so it's beautiful to just come together and interact with each other.
Exactly.
And you're going to meet a friend. And for me, again, I'm born and raised in Dallas. And not only do I meet a friend every time, but I always meet a family member as well. Someone says, hey, aren't you so-and-so's baby?
Yeah, aren't you so-and-so?
Absolutely.
Yeah, aren't you so-and-so? Are you my cousin?
That's cousin. Exactly. And I was given a tour, and I was telling them about my background and how I got here. And that person said, hold on 1 second. And she turned around and called her big mama right then. And she came back. She said, girl, I'm your cousin.
Look out. Look out. I love it. I love it. We're talking to Helena Banks with Bonton Farms and a major success story. You guys have been getting national recognition as well. Can you talk about some of the accolades that's well-deserved and how it's probably helped you guys even do more things? Because sometimes different people want to partner with you. Sometimes different organizations say, you know what? We want to help this part of town sustain itself.
Absolutely. So, yes, we were thrilled. We were peacock proud. We were so grateful to receive the news last week from Yield Giving. And Yield Giving, for those who don't know, is Ms. Mackenzie Scott's philanthropic arm that she did an open call for organizations to submit for the opportunity to receive $1 million grant.
Wow.
And hear me when I say this, that there were over 6,000 applications for this open call, and they initially planned for 250 awards. And so, you know, little old Helena sitting over here at Bonton Farms, you know, I worked with a dynamic team of people to get this application in. And we started on this last April, and we knew that there were 6,000 applications received. And when we made the cut to 1,000, we knew, we were like, we are on to something. People are recognizing the work that we're doing here. So when we made the first cut, we were like, yay, look at us. And then when we got the news that we were going to receive this gift, for us, that is it's not something that we take lightly at all. But yeah. Then we got news that our scores were high, and they were so high that instead of giving us $1 million, they were going to plant us $2 million seeds.
Whoa!
On farms.
Whoa! I had no idea. I just asked the question. That is fantastic. I'm so glad I asked you to be on. This is perfect timing. Wow.
Yes. And I'm telling, we just announced this March 19th. Let me tell you, I'll tell you personally, my knees buckled and tears started streaming down my eyes, because you can't imagine how many times you hear, oh, you're wasting your time on something like that. Mm-hmm. Why would somebody give you, you know how people can be.
Oh, yeah.
But my team and I, we pressed on. And again, out of over 6,000 applications, we were one of the 300 gifts that were received, $2 million or $1 million. We received that $1 million, $2 million from Mackenzie Scott. And people say, oh my gosh, you got this $2 million. You know, what are you going to do? We're going to do what we continue to do.
That's
what
right.
We've always done. We're going to fight systems of inequality. That's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to make that impact on our workforce with our workforce development program. And most importantly, it's going to allow us to increase our capacity of care for the residents of Bonton, the community,
yes,
and the surrounding neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people think we won the lottery. We didn't win the lottery in the sense that, oh, now we can all go buy yachts for ourselves. We were invested in by Yield Giving and Mackenzie Scott so that we can continue to do what it is that we do, and that is to plant seeds of change. It just allows our budget so that now we're not, you know, scratching and surviving. We know where that next dollar is going to come from, and now we know we can change that next life.
That is fantastic. Helena Banks, this is just absolutely fantastic news. And I guess, you know, when the word got out, I'm just trying to figure out how everybody was all excited. There had to be some kind of celebration. I know y'all, I mean, it's only been a couple of weeks, but you've had to have some kind of at least joyous celebration and then back to the grind.
So I will tell you, we took 2 minutes out of one of our leadership meetings, and I brought some sparkling cider, and we did a little toast. We did a little tiny toast, but April is volunteer month, and so we are jam-packed with volunteers, and we're excited to have them all there. But we decided that next month we're going to have a huge celebration, and I decided that the theme is going to be It Takes Two to Make Things Go Right. So
uh-oh,
we got
I've
that
heard
$2 million.
Dollars. I've heard that song somewhere before.
Indeed. So we've got that $2 million, and that $2 million is going to help things go right around here. And so our team will stop and celebrate, because you know, I have a saying, and maybe you've heard me say this before, but the best way to grow success is to pour champagne on it. So when we have a victory, small or large, I'm going to take a minute and stop and celebrate that success, because that's how we continue to grow.
Exactly. And it's replicable. In other words, people see your success and say, you know what, maybe we can do that too, as opposed to, because there's always haters out there. You'll never be able to. Oh, that won't work. It's always hard to fight through negativity or just people who just cannot see your vision. And so I'm just very, very impressed with Bonton Farms from the get-go. But the fact that your hard work is paying off and the accolades are coming, and again, more people can see the benefits of the work, especially in Bonton.
Absolutely. Everything that we do is for this community. And the more that we can pour into this community, the more that we can invest in this community and walk alongside. Hear me when I say, this is not you don't visit a problem.
Right.
The only way you can do this is if you come and you walk alongside. And that's why we're so grateful. The way that you and I got together, that afternoon that you all spent with us, mm-hmm. that's how we change the world. We do it together. We do it in community.
It really is all about community. And again, I love the fact that everybody there is helping each other, and it's not like, oh, let's just throw some money on it, or, you know, and or maybe the problem will go away, or it's like, this is not a problem. This is just a situation that could solve itself. And you guys are in position, like I said, to change a neighborhood in the way that the neighborhood wants it changed.
Absolutely. Here's the thing you have to know. No matter where you're from, you know, I grew up in South Dallas. No matter where you're from or what your circumstances are, people are never without hope.
Right.
If we don't have anything, all we have is hope. We have hope and we have each other. And so, you know, the narrative about what's happening in South Dallas and what's happening, you know, in neighborhoods that have been under-resourced, it is not a people problem at all. Mm-mm. Because the people in our communities every day, they are hopeful. They are energetic. They are resourceful. They do things every day. It is a miracle to see it all happen and to see it come together. And you can't help but want to be a part of it. There's something inspirational about seeing a group of people from regardless of their backgrounds come together to make a difference. And here at Bonton Farms, the kids from the neighborhoods come over. When we do a block party, even if the lights are just still on a little late, they come over and they're going to visit with us. And we check in on them. We say, how are your grades going?
Right.
What's going on in school? We go and we visit with the football team. We've got a group, the Bonton Girls Run. I'm not going to be out there running with them too often. I do my little mile walk. But when I see them, I encourage them. Go ahead, girls. You're better to do it.
Yeah.
And reason for that is because, again, this is us. This is our community. There's only one way to do it, and that's together. And so when I see our community members in the neighborhood, I don't know, even if they don't know your name, you're going to speak. You're going to visit with each other. You're going to walk when you're walking down the block and everything. I'm Miss Lady to everybody. Hey, Miss Lady, how are you doing? I tell everybody, this community, just walking up and down the street will give you a jolt of enthusiasm for making a difference and for making a difference in the world.
I love all this. And one of the main reasons why I love it is because it's all inclusive. It's not like, okay, gentrification into the neighborhood and they're pushing people out. Yes. And granny got to go to retirement home because they're taking a house. That's not happening at all. Everybody is evolving together.
Right.
It's like everybody's using their hands together, as opposed to, well, you know what? This is really close to downtown and things are happening in downtown, so we're just going to take over the neighborhood. That is not what's going on. This is everybody working together and they have the same goals.
Absolutely. We like people, the word gentrification is that's not the word we want to use ever.
No.
We want to use revitalization.
Yes.
Is not being gentrified. It is being revitalized. And to be revitalized requires everybody. It requires granny to stay, because I need granny to stay. Granny,
her wisdom. That's right.
Yes. She is keeping the history. She is being the nurturer, because you can see them on the street. I need grannies to come. I need young families to come and visit with us. I need you to see this, you know, this community for what it is.
And know the history of the community, know where it's been through, and all the good times and bad, to know all about what this is all about. Not just, well, you know what? This is a nice close proximity, urban area, Dallas, everybody's moving to Texas. I mean, I love what you're doing. And it's not getting lost in the mix. It's not being taken over, so to speak.
Well, Chris, we are so grateful. We're grateful for people like you who see that and who come and be a part of it. It's the only way it happens here is together. And when people like you, you know, use your incredible voice to amplify this message, that's how we get to those, you know, big, super, you know, big fancy foundations.
Yeah,
nationally.
The grants.
That's how we get to, yes, that's how we get to those
the
things.
The opportunities, yeah.
When people amplify this message, this is how our work gets done. We don't have a big fancy marketing agency. Mm-hmm. We don't have, you know, a billion ad dollars to spend on something. We're doing this and it works because of people like you who use this, use your platforms and use your voice to amplify the work that we're doing.
Well, let's talk about what's on the calendar coming up. You mentioned the first edition of Soul Shine happens April 18th. What else can people find on BontemFarms.org.
So you're going to visit BontemFarms.org for our, of course, the next thing that everyone is talking about is our eclipse. Everyone.
Oh, yeah. Monday. Oh, yeah. Everybody wants to see the eclipse. Hopefully the clouds won't be too bad because they said at 1:40 Monday afternoon, it's supposed to be the eclipse for like 4 full minutes. And if the clouds are there, you still need to have the glasses or whatever.
You need your glasses.
But go ahead and tell what you guys got going on.
Yeah, so we've got our eclipse viewing party because we're going to view it on the levee. You know, we happen to have a great view right here. We're going to view it on the levee. You can come. You can grab some coffee and some lunch. And then get your free eclipse-approved glasses and visit with us. It's one of the hottest spots in Dallas. But of course, we have Soul Shine coming up. And we've got the official lineup for this year. We have April 18th is our Down to Earth event. We've got June 20th, which is our summertime celebration. September 12th is our Fall into the Spirit of Bonton. And then in November, on November 14th, we'll be doing our Friendsgiving event. So we're excited to have that Soul Shine series for this year up and running. You know, as always, you can come and you can visit our restaurant. The restaurant is doing some incredible menu changes. If you happen to come by the coffee house this past week for Easter, you got to hang out with the peeps because we did a coffee special with some Easter peeps. The peeps were there. So, you know, we've got those type of restaurant celebrations and specials that are happening in our restaurant in addition to our coffee house. As always, you know, Easter's coming. You got holidays coming up. If you need to come get your greens, come to the market. Our collards are incredible. And I can tell you personally, because I pick collards on Tuesday morning.
That's my favorite, by the way. I love collard greens. That's my favorite. Okay, yes, well, that's why I married my wife. She could make them. I'm telling you, that was a difference maker.
What she put in her collard greens? Is it smoke? What does she put in
it's
her
It's some
collard?
Kind of smoke. I don't know the secret, but all I can tell you is hers are the best.
Okay, well, look, our chef, I tell him he's back there. He must sing love songs to them collards because they come out just right.
That is outstanding.
The collars have a secret love affair. They've got a way to make people fall in love with you.
I'm a witness. Helena, it is a pleasure talking to you. We will be checking back with you again real soon. And thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely, Chris. It is always my pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.